16, and looking at the last few verses, verses 25 to 27, and this one is entitled The Conclusion. So let's read that passage, starting with 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. This week we finished 16 chapters of Romans. 16 months of skimming the surface of a profoundly deep book. As we learned 2 weeks ago, it was hand-carried over 600 miles by a faithful woman called Phoebe, so that Paul's inspired understanding of truth could reach Rome from Corinth when Paul could not go himself. Have you ever wondered what Paul said when he spoke in the synagogue of a newly visited city? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there to listen in person and hear what he had to say? Guess what? You have it in your hand to be read in concise, logical form in a language you can understand. What could be better? Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you, dear Lord. Now, there are two concepts I would like to dig into which are central to this doxology. Now, the first is, of course, the sovereignty of God, the source of all meaning and truth. And in his sovereignty, he chose to hide some truths to later disclose at the right time in human history. These he calls mysteries or hidden truths. There are at least five of them. Of the 10 sources I use in preparing for Let's Talk each time, the most helpful is from Donald Gray Barnhouse. He preached on Romans for over 2 years and wrote a 2-volume commentary of 3,000 pages. I have only 2 pages, so let's try to summarize what he had to say. And here are the mysteries. Number one, the incarnation. This was, of course, fully revealed at the birth and ministry of Jesus Christ. The predicted prophet or Messiah came, but God himself? Amazing, shocking, unheard of. Number two, the resurrection. God the Son must die and after 3 days rise again? Yes, he must. Number three, the church. You mean there is to be a group of called out ones, quote unquote, from all nations, which together constitute his body? Yes, there is. Number four, he's coming twice. What? First as a helpless baby and second as a victorious king. And between the two advents is a long church age. We are in it. Number five, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is the most amazing of them all to me. I am in him and he is in me. Amazing. Unheard of in the Old Testament, but true. As we ponder on these five revealed mysteries, we are informed of their result, their purpose in verse 26, to bring about the obedience of faith. Yes, we obey to the best of our ability, not out of fear of punishment, but out of faith, triggered by our amazement and gratitude for all he has done and all he has given to us, revealed in these mysteries. He is born, is tortured to death, and comes to life again for you and me. He will return for us, and in the meantime, he will live in and through us. Romans comes to an end, and what we don't know is Barnhouse is coming to an end of his life. He has cancer, and he knows it. He's finished his commentary and dies before it's even published. Let me read his final comments for you. Let them inspire you as they have me. So Barnhouse says this, as I sit in my typewriter working, I think ahead to eternity and when I shall be given some task to do by the Lord. I try to project myself forward and to know exactly I shall go about it. For I say, Lord, I want to go about my present tasks in the same way that I shall work for thee in the future. And I say, Lord, I am thy child. I have nothing in myself. All that is of good in me is because of thy life in me. I come to thee for wisdom. Give me knowledge and power for the next moment and then for the next moment. Show me thy will, teach me thy way, give me thy power. And now I know that anything effective that I ever do for the Lord is done after the completion of that process of surrender, filling, and action for Him. If I find here on earth, in the midst of a fallen creation, with my own outward man perishing, with the divine verdict written that if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know it as he ought to know it. That's 1 Corinthians 8, chapter, verse 2. How much more shall it be that I shall follow this same process in eternity, when my fallen nature will be forever behind me, and I shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness, wisdom, and power? This is the wisdom of God. He has made it possible for men who were made lower than the angels to rise higher than the angels. He has made it possible for creatures to become sons. He has made it possible for those who were once bound by earth and all its forces of gravity in every field to be loosed from earth and to know the throne of God as eternal home. So, Father, this speaks to me. I hope it speaks to those that are listening. To imagine what it'll be like in heaven, doing the tasks that you give us with the same energy, with more power and authority and knowledge and wisdom than we have here, to accomplish those tasks for your glory and to glorify you eternally. What a wonderful concept that is. What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful hope that is. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.